because I'm probably going to say about 20 different iterations of your name and the album as well. So Hand of Kaliak and Corrie Vrecken, is that the album?
Perfect. Yes, spot on.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh,
Yeah.
amazing. So it's out next, or the 23rd, next Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first thing I have to ask is, and it intrigued me straight away, like, sorry, this is the first time I've heard your music before. This is my first entry point. But when I saw husband and wife in a band, I don't know how long you've been married for, but you've obviously got kids as well. How does that relationship work with you're together all the time, I assume, with the kids at night, and then you're trying to make music. How does it work?
I guess it's probably good that we make metal, I guess. That might be because it can be a bit stressful sometimes trying to crowbar everything in. I mean, I guess it works. There's really good bits and really bad bits of it. I think certainly, I mean, I've played in quite a lot of bands in my youth, and then had a good stretch throughout my 20s and early 30s where I really just didn't play at all, unfortunately, for various reasons. But when we started playing again, one of the refreshing things was with just the two of us, the writing process is so much faster because you don't have to work on that collaboration, that sort of, piece by piece, build it all together, go and have a jam, pulls, which is fun. And don't get me wrong, like I really enjoyed those sort of activities back in the older bands and things like that. But it did take time. And I guess the other thing that really worked for this project that I've not really seen, well, not really experienced before, was that you could go with quite a single vision as to what you wanted the sound to be like without having to kind of chop and change and I guess a compromise to other people's influences and tastes depending on what they want to bring to the sound. So like when I was in bands back in the day, you'd bring something, but they'd say, ah, well, maybe we could do something like a bit different or change it up, or and you'd compromise and you'd find something that worked, but it was never necessarily 100% what you might have been after. Whereas this one, because it's just the two of us and we had quite a shared vision, I guess, as to what we wanted it to sound like, with the folk aspects and the ethereal aspects over some pretty, I mean, ultimately underlying is probably some fairly straightforward Melodeath sort of influences and a bit of Black and stuff like that. But because we had the same idea of what we wanted it to sound like, it was a lot more straightforward. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And I think it's quite a mix anyway. Like your bits are very deep and growly, and mine are very kind of ethereal and floaty. And it is just a kind of I guess it's quite like our personalities anyway. If
Yeah,
that's
I'm the floaty
fair.
personality, that's right.
Like you're much more loud and loud and brave, and I'm less so.
The word I picked up there, John, from you was compromise. And what I'm sort of digging at is, being married to the person for so long, or however long you've been married or partner or whatever, compromise is a big part of relationships. But when it comes to music, it also is the same thing. When you've got four or five people in a band, and someone wants this, someone wants that, it can get a bit messy. You've
Yeah,
seen
for
bands
sure.
break up over that stuff before, but between the two of you, I know you're saying you have the same shared vision, but it must be hard to put the husband and wife aspect to one side when you're writing music. I mean, do you like when you're making dinner, you're like, oh, I've got this really good sort of riff, or is it like down your
Pretty much
life?
exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Or just like play a little something when we're, yeah, exactly that, making dinner and it's like, oh, what do you think of this? Or I was thinking a bit more of this. What do you think of, like, we're at the moment we're thinking about new instruments, bringing in a bit more kind of, we don't want to make it, we've kind of tried to stay away from really cliched Scottish like bagpipes and things, but we're sort of thinking about bringing it in, and we'll kind of test out different sounds to each other. It's
Yeah, and metronome and
exactly
stuff.
that.
I mean, like you said, yeah, we got kids, so we don't get out as much as we used to. So, and I guess ultimately the project started just in lockdown in 2020, just because we were looking for something to do, right? I mean, like we that was on it, all honesty, that was the
Well,
driver.
that's how
So,
this podcast started.
yeah, nice one, awesome. So there we go. So that was pretty much it. Was just finding something fun for us to do that wasn't just sitting, trying to complete Netflix for the, fifth year in a row, whatever it felt like, you know.
Yeah.
So you're totally right. There is that balance, I think. But it works out really well because, as so says, like, we've just got her old acoustic nylon string guitar that she's had since you were a kid, and that's the one that sits downstairs. It's not the electrics or anything like that. That just sits downstairs, and that's the one we use for like coming up with just random bits of melody and riffs and be like, how like that, and then go out and try it. Once we've got something that we like the sound of, go and try it. And it means the whole process of trying it, deciding it sucks, and then scrapping it and starting again is so much faster and easier as well, because there's not really any ego. Because, you know, we know each other pretty
Yeah.
well, and we're pretty used to having all sorts of familial, you know, disagreements. So it's so it's actually really easy to be like, no, I don't like it, for either of us, and then we go, yeah, okay, cool, right, let me do something else, rather
I
than have to
mean,
manage the politics, I guess.
you've put out a fair few releases in a short period of time. I mean, this is your second full length, and then I think you two one or two EPs you've had out as well. Is
Yeah,
that
so we did a our first one
right?
was like a 5-track EP, which is the one we did in lockdown. I mean, that was really very varied. I mean, I definitely put it as pretty experimental in terms of all the different styles that went into that one. It was because, to be honest, that was just us kind of mucking around and seeing if we could come up with a cohesive sort of idea, but then just explore it in a bunch of different styles or you know, sub genres of metal. But then Samhain, which was our full length, came out after that, and just because we got a really surprisingly positive reception off the back of that, and Dan was, you know, really happy to pick it up and put it out on Trepanation, which was really awesome and really surprising. You know, we were very humbled by that one. And I guess we hadn't really thought that it would be something that people really vibed with. So Samhain was then a proper sit down, all right, let's be a bit more serious as to how we construct a front to back album with 10 songs that all still carry the same sound of what had been probably some of the more positively received and enjoyable for us to write elements. So that was that one, and then we did just a 3-track like acoustic instrumental EP that was just a bit of fun, like just a sort of low cost good bit of, you know, some of the tracks that we'd done before that we quite like doing. But we didn't really push that one around or promote it. I think we've kind of focused on the albums being our serious ones, and then anything we
Yeah.
do at the sides is kind of like just for fun.
And when you're so you're saying then you sort of like you were just writing for yourselves. When you're doing the full lengths, are you thinking, right, let's make this sort of appealing to non-fans at the moment to draw them in? Or are you very much like, this is us, we are, we've got the Scottish folklore, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, oh, I don't know what you think about it, but
I
I
think
mean,
it's hard. It's hard not to go with what people like.
Yeah, you can't
It's
help but
hard to
take that
be
feedback. Yeah, yeah.
it's hard to be kind of authentic in a way because you're always listening to other people's opinions, and if they are liking it and we're getting good feedback, you kind of ride on a bit of a dopamine high from that. So we do, I guess, we try to do what we like as much as possible, but yeah, we definitely take feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the sort of mellow death sort of style that we've kind of leaned into now with a lot of the folk elements was probably only really sort of 2 tracks on the first EP that were kind of like that. And we actually, to this day, still get a chunk more streams on the likes of Spotify of one of the ones that was a lot more power metally. But we decided we didn't really want to do more power metal sort of stuff and really want to lean into that style. So we definitely went on that just for what we want to do. But as sort of says, like, you can't help sometimes, but when you get feedback on particular tracks or particular style, it does definitely seep into, you know, the brain, and when you're doing the writing and you go, oh yeah, that was like that track, and that one was really, you know, well received. But I think we do try to keep it as authentic as possible and still try and follow the same sort of formula when we're writing, which is kind of start off with that quite Scottish Irish Celtic-y sort of melody for the guitars, and then work around from there, rather than doing anything else. Because I think every other time we've tried to do it another way, it just sounds very mid and very kind of like, I don't know, like similar to some of the other styles that, and plenty of the other bands that are doing a much better job of it.
Yeah,
Those more
like we
traditional
do
type genres.
a kind of vaguely Scottish cover
Yeah, exactly.
or someone else's stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, like I said, this is the first entrance to me with your new album, and Will kindly sent it over, who I instantly met in London when I was over there last
Oh,
weekend. So
awesome.
lovely
Nice.
guy.
Yeah, he seems really nice.
Yeah. But when I listened to the album, what I got from it was there's some like a Mon a Marth-esque Melodeath in there. There's definitely some of the Celtic primordial from Dublin in there. But the one thing that jumped out for me, Sophie, was your vocals. And Chelsea Wolfe released her latest album on Friday last, I think. And when I was listening to it all together, the first thing that I caught was your vocal, Sophie. And I was like, okay, this is great because I love a clean vocal. But the juxtaposition works so well between the both of you. Like, John, you can be doing those death growls over the top, but Sophie, you complement them so well that there's a really good balance. And it's not just an album, and no disrespect, it's not an album of just, death growls the whole way through, which can be done to death. It's a really nice balance. And I think, the fact that you two have been married so well, you can see that it works so well together between the two of you.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's so nice. Thank
Yeah,
you.
thanks very much. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think Source Vocals is what makes it really different
That's
from
well.
a lot of other albums. I mean, and a few other sort of artists as well.
I think it's interesting. It was probably one of the things that we that people liked when we sort of released the EP that we didn't do too much of.
Yeah, definitely didn't do enough.
You were kind of persuading me to
Yeah, I was
do a
trying to
bit
coax
more.
you to do some, rather than just play the
And
bass for it. And then, yeah, you did on like a couple of tracks, just in sort of
yeah.
the backing sort of bits. But it wasn't until Selwyn that you did like some full lead vocals in some of the tracks, and
Yeah.
yeah, got a great bit of reception, which was awesome because, yeah, exactly as you say, I think that's the bit that really stands out, right? Otherwise, it's a lot of it is that sort of heavier aspects of a Mon a Marth and some of the other sort of bits and pieces in the Melodeath space, and maybe the odd bit of black metal. But as you say,
It's a
there's
good compliment.
so many excellent bands out there at the moment in this, golden age of metal that we're kind of living in at the moment, where they were doing a lot of that stuff, but less so with some of the ethereal stuff. So
But
yeah,
I
I'm
mean,
also really liking it.
we talk about this a lot, that with Spotify and streaming services, not just the metal scene, but music in general is flooded now with, you could put on a band such as Regurgitate, to Napalm Death, to Rotting Christ, to Slayer, to Satyricon, and I'm not, don't disrespect those bands, but a lot of it can be sort of pigeonholed in the same thing. And certainly when we get album promos through, we always look for something that is firstly not in the mainstream. The likes of Metallica, Slipknot, etc., don't need promotion. They're fine. So we look for something like we can, like underground, if you want to call it that. I don't know again, but
Absolutely,
yeah,
yeah.
to find something like this, which is very much sort of standalone-ish or in its own sort of subgenre, whatever you want to call it. I think it's really nice that, especially as well from a UK band, is something that, and obviously you getting signed to Prosthetic Records is another huge step. So, I mean, that was more of just a statement, but we'll talk about Prosthetic now as well. Like, they're a huge, well, they're a big label. Like, they've released some brilliant stuff the past few years. They've got some great names on the roster. And how did it come about getting signed to a Prosthetic?
Yeah, that was an awesome one. I mean, we were blown away to get picked up by them. As you say, we're definitely pretty niche. We did have some sort of support, but we didn't in any way expect that we'd get that sort of level of attention. When we'd released sorry, when we finished recording and got the mixes back for Corey Vrekken from our engineer, we sort of took them to Dan again at Trepanation, who'd done our previous runs, and said, "Look, here we go, Dan. What do you reckon?" And he said, "Guys, honestly," and he's always been incredibly supportive. I mean, he's the biggest champion of the underground you'll find, who's really keen to just give all sorts of fantastically interesting and diverse projects a lot of platform, and all of his own costs and his own back, which is just phenomenal. But being the phenomenally nice guy he is, he turned around and said, "No, look, guys, you guys need to be pitching this higher. Like, this has got legs," which was incredibly kind of him. So we made like a really quick list of labels that we'd really love to work with, And I think we'd only done like three, I think, to begin with. And we're like, well, we'll give these three. And prosthetic was top of the list, so we pinged them first just because they'd done a lot of, well, a fantastic projects that we loved, and had the pedigree, as you kind of mentioned, for their sort of size and some of the stuff that they've been putting out. But also the fact that they are still doing some of the more interesting sort of different stuff out there as well. But we didn't really only didn't think we'd get much of a response back from it. And it was Steve there who replied to us within about 2 hours, I think, of us sending the promo out. And I think we cocked it up a bit as well, because we sent a link to our SoundCloud, which is like the big no-no of when you're pitching stuff, and then resent our link afterwards because we'd broken it, because we'd shifted something. It was my bad. I shifted something around the playlist, and he kindly like went, ah. But Steve got back in touch in like 2 hours, and it turned out that he'd picked up one of our first EP CDs, of which there was something like only 50 ever made, but he was a fan of Trepanation, what they were picking out, and picked up one there, and he'd kind of been quietly following us ever since. And he was like, look, I love it. Let me socialize with the rest of the label, because they do things by unanimous agreement there. And I think by that afternoon, I think he'd said, look, initial signs are really good. Let's work something out. And I think it was done in like, was it like 2 weeks, if that, maybe a week. And then boom, it was just like that. I mean, don't even know what else to say. Our heads are still kind of spinning from it, I guess, to be honest. It was, yeah, fantastic.
It feels
And
great.
what then, what did prosthetic or signing prosthetic mean for you as a band? Like, I know a lot of things have changed. Like back in the day, it would have been they'd have paid for studio time, they'd have paid for engineers and stuff. I think if I'm right these days, a lot of the time it's they'll, handle the promotion of it and the printing of records, CDs, merch, etc. Is that what
Yeah,
happened?
pretty much. I mean, give them the credit as well. They also, give an advance as well, just to help with some of those costs and bits and
Okay.
pieces. And they also hooked us up with some good sources to use it, like the video directors that we used for the Phil Raines video, which we would have never had the cash or
Yeah,
the stones to do
I was
ourselves,
going to say
and
that. I think
actually.
it's helpful to kind of be pushed as well to make the videos, do the photo shoots,
Yeah.
do the promotion, do the,
Yeah.
the it's the push.
Yeah.
It's very
Absolutely.
useful.
And having them supporting and really backing us gave us the I guess the confidence, honestly, to know that it's worthwhile. I think we'd always been really cautious about how much we stepped up to our costs from, like, the EP. I just mixed myself because I'd done some sound engineering at college, and it was a rough mix, and then we got it externally mastered just to sharpen up. But like, still listening back at it, I'm like, oh, that's a bit rough. But then we did like one single we did with an external engineer for a couple hundred quid, just to see if it would work as a more well-produced sound. And we did all this sort of incremental stepping up before we really went all in. But having a label being able to, as you say, not just cover all the costs of the vinyl, which is massive. I mean, we did that
Yeah.
ourselves for Samhain, but we could only afford to do it after 2 years of sales of Samhain. So, it gives you an idea of the cost. It's just insane at the moment in terms of what you have to throw into it. But having them back it, fund it, point us in the direction of some really good professionals who could do the videos, the photos, and stuff like that. Like Becky Laverty and her contacts, sort of network, was just immense. She pointed straight in the direction of David and James, who did the video, and they just like ran with it. Just absolutely loved the whole vibe. And we've honestly, it's been so refreshing, I guess, because normally we've had to be DIYing all this sort of stuff
Yeah.
ourselves, and having professionals that just get it done within like a half a day, what would have taken you like 2 weeks of faffing around with some knockoff version of Photoshop, trying to pull together some album work. And it's like, oh, don't worry, it's all done, it's fine, it's great. Just insane. And obviously there's undeniably just the, yeah, I guess the reach and the credibility that
Yeah.
being supported by prosthetic brings into it, which is, I think, been pretty massive for us. Absolutely.
And how cold was it in that lock when you got some merch at all?
Sophie had that smile on for the entire time. She was absolutely
I was watching the
loving
video and just thinking, if this is Photoshopped, it's the best Photoshop ever. And then
Yeah,
I
it
it's
was not
real.
Photoshopped.
The first one when John was in,
We did it more than once.
well, we had to
Oh
because
man.
James, the videographer, he so John went under, and they were like, so he came back up, and they were like, no bubbles. And he was like, that's how I'm breathing. I
I
can't
think it
hear
was just the air in my
that.
beard was just escaping under the water because they said lean back.
So
Yeah.
went under again, did it again, and then James had this look on his face like, oh shit, what's gone wrong? And
Whole
he
set was silent.
nothing had had recorded, so he had
Yeah.
to do it all again. It was so cold.
It said you got
It
to
was a
lean
really it
down.
was November,
Yeah,
October,
I mean,
November.
it was very authentic, right? Because we're kind
It
of a
was really cold.
wintery, autumny themed sort of band. So the hills were absolutely gorgeous. There was low cloud over the tops of them.
It
It
was
was like,
raining all
yeah,
day.
super perfect
Very
atmosphere, like
cold.
very cold. And then we had to do it again because he didn't record. That was That's always
Was
the
that
way
your
for me.
first time doing a professional video?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like? Was it like quite awkward or?
Oh yes, you were grand. You're
I don't know. Well, I think it's easier when you're doing the deathy growls and stuff in the middle of the woods, because as long as you start belting them out, then your face will kind of do everything you need to do anyway, because you've got to make that face to get the noise out a lot of the time. I think you did fantastic as
It's
well.
just, I'd say all of this is much newer to me because just been in bands before and I never have, and it's just all kind of, it's all brand new. So I'm kind of picking it up as I go along, learning a
Yeah, you
lot.
did awesome though. Looks fantastic. And David and James were absolutely brilliant as the directors. They just like we rocked up. We were late because we had to drop the kids off at school and stuff in the morning, and all these boring trivialities that are just like so unmetal. And so it was over in Oban on the west coast of Scotland, and we're like Edinburgh. So it took us like 2 hours of driving.
And was there any like random passers-by that came through?
Not too bad.
Nah, it
No.
was really well chosen location, actually. It was so
Because
remote.
it was so cold as well, and it was really
Yeah,
raining. Most
pretty early.
people don't want to be in the
Wise enough
middle
not
of
to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
deep, spooky woods.
But I mean, it was definitely a new experience for us, especially, I mean, because they had a crew with them as well, in terms of, well, they had Anna, who is like their sort of runner, and then they had Matthew, who ended up doing our photos, was doing some of the behind the scenes sort of photography and just shooting some shots just for
And
everyone's
our
sort of
amazing
workload.
crew.
And our amazing crew and Vivienne, and they'd kind of sorted all this stuff, and we just kind of rocked up, and then it was just go nonstop from like 10 till 4, I think, when it started getting dark. But a lot of the shots were like just one take, and then that was it, and then we'd move on to the next thing. I was like, oh,
Too
really? Was that
natural.
okay? Yeah. Well, it was more just like they didn't tell us it was going to be one take. So like my vocal and guitar playthroughs when we were doing the ones in the woods for that video, I thought we would do it a couple of times, and they're like, no, it's cool. We'll just take the good bits and ignore the ignore the flubs, or you know. And it just worked out well, but.
It was fun, and it was like the location was absolutely stunning. It's just
But
amazing.
the final video is great as well. Like it's really well done. Like,
No,
you
it's
know.
awesome. Yeah,
Just going
thanks
back to the prosthetic, signed the prosthetic there. Do you feel that now that you've signed to a label such a prosthetic, obviously there's deadlines that they would want you to meet. Do you feel you've put yourself under pressure? Like we've talked about, you've got kids, you know, you need to get into the studio to record this bit and that bit. Can we get a babysitter? Can we not? Do you have that, feel that stress, or are you fairly comfortable with that?
Yeah, well, you go.
Yeah, it is tricky. At the moment, I think our biggest pressure is that we've got to perform live, so we're
Yeah,
kind of
I
got
mean, we're
practice
really,
for
to be
that.
clear, we're really keen to play live, but yeah, it's not
We'll
like
come back to
they've
that in
said
a
we
minute
have
because
to.
I want to
Yeah,
ask you
right,
separately about
okay.
that.
But I think from the recording stuff,
But yeah, recording stuff. Yeah, what's your thing?
well, I think honestly, the recording stuff is much like we're saying with the writing side of things. We've actually got recording kit at home anyway,
Okay.
so that is actually one of the easiest bits for us to do, because we don't need to book studio time. Like we've got, I think it's a testament to the quality of kit you can get these days. I mean, you can get like a £200 audio interface that will just be absolutely noise free and do the job really nicely, which, you know, 10 years ago when I was doing that sort of training and Sound engineering would have cost you like more like a grand to get that. So, well, I'm saying 10 years, more like 20 now. But the quality kit you can get from Home Studio now is absolutely top notch. So we've got one decent microphone, an SM7B, which is just a standard podcasting microphone that Sof uses, and it's fantastic. I can either use that or a bog standard SM58, and it'll do the job for the growls. And then all the guitars just go through the DIs, and then the drum kit's an electronic one. So we then just get that all reskinned by the engineer when we bundle it all up. So the recording process is actually really straightforward. It's the outlays on the mixing, but then that's all our dear man Winter Pryor at Sphinx Studios. He does all our stuff, and he's very patient.
He's very patient.
So you recorded it all at home. You didn't go into
Yeah,
studio. Wow.
our first album, I was 9 months pregnant for doing most of it, and then had a tiny baby, so
To finish it off,
we kind of recording, like, singing with a tiny, yeah, tiny baby.
tiny baby sleeping. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Just
Wow.
yeah, Douglet.
That's incredible though, isn't it? And it goes like you're saying, John, that like more bands are doing this now because of the quality improvement, and people don't have enough money to go into a studio and stuff that there's and I suppose it is a good thing that there are more bands doing this and producing their own stuff, and you're finding some Bandcamp Friday suggestions from a friend, or oh, this person did this. Like I found one the other day from Will, actually sent me on this random one. He's like, listen to this off Bandcamp, and it was this black metal Feminizer, I think it was called, this
Oh,
one
yeah, right.
black
Yeah.
metal project from the States. And I
Awesome.
was just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, just
Yeah.
this one person. Sorry, I know we're coming near to the end of time. Just
No, no worries.
the last thing then, the live performance, because obviously there's two of you who are credited on the record, I assume, as written and recorded all the music. But I've noticed that you do have a live guitarist and drummer lined up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we've got Dehan doing our lead guitar work, which is great because I still struggle to play some of those riffs. He is a much better guitarist than I am, which is awesome. So I can just leave it to the rhythm side of things. And Tom has been absolutely fantastic as well. He's got a lot of skills that he's brought from some very decent years playing all sorts of different genres. So yeah, we're gigging pretty well, practicing every week at the moment. But with the biggest challenges you've kind of already touched on is like, okay, well, we've got kids, how do we both go to practice? Like at the moment we're doing like every Friday night 8 till 10. How many regular babysitters are we going to get that aren't going to cost the earth to get us both out so we can practice then? So it's still something we're juggling with at the moment. So like Soph and I will often practice during the week just at home doing the bass and guitar and vocals all together, and then it will either typically be me, and occasionally you will go off and do the sort of practice with the other guys just to try and bring it all together. But yeah, it's a puzzle we're still to crack, I guess, in terms of getting it really, really firing as we want to. I guess that's the flip side to all the streamlined and faster sort of advantages we get from the home stuff and the writing and recording
That's
stuff.
true.
But the flip side is it's a much harder beast to actually get the live stuff spun up. But we are really keen.
And of
And
course, that's where the majority of money comes from these days, is touring. Like,
yeah, that's it. That's it. Absolutely. But I mean, we're just delighted that we're basically breaking even at the moment, at least. And then
that's great.
the it's getting some love, which is always nice to hear, considering we kind of did this just as a joke for ourselves more than anything.
So would you are you thinking just like maybe doing like playing Bannerman's one night in Edinburgh, and then maybe do a couple of Scottish dates, and then potentially look
Exactly
at
that.
Australia and New Zealand and things like that?
Just take the kids and a
Yeah.
camper
Leave the
van and
kids for
just
3 months at home and just go
Oh,
tour
even
around
better, even
Asia and
better.
that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the plan. I think it's almost getting, to be honest, to a little bit of an awkward situation where promoters are very kindly reaching out to us and offering us like a headline slot or like a good slot at either a Scottish gig or even further afield potentially. But we're turning around and doing exactly what you're saying, saying like, actually, we'd like to play a couple of support slots at Bannerman's and just kind of work up to stuff to make sure it's firing. Because I mean, neither myself nor Dehan or Tom, the drummer, I've played live in probably about 10 years, I think, is the most
Right.
recent any of us have played. And we want to make sure it's up to standard, because there'd be nothing worse than rushing into gigs and then it sounding a lot worse than it does on the record, I guess. But that's not to say we're not really, really keen to do it and working towards it. And I think it is starting to get there as well. But
Great. Well, I look forward to it then.
awesome.
Thank you so much for your time, guys. I know you've got to run off now. Congratulations on the new album. Excuse me. I'm actually in Edinburgh on the 16th of March. So if you're around,
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
grab a drink,
definitely. Reach out and
give
we'll
a
try and win some
shout.
pints in and a
Yeah.
babysitter.
Of course.
No, awesome. Thanks very much, Joe. I
Yeah,
much
thank you
appreciate
so
it.
much.
Thanks so much. And hopefully, we'll meet up soon and maybe even catch you live. But until then,
Awesome.
thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a
Cheers.
lot.
Cheers,
Cheers.
guys.